You've tuned in to Myth Behaving, a podcast where we get up close and personal with today's most imaginative authors. Every episode, we'll be sitting down with a new writer to discuss their magical worlds, futuristic visions, and how they bring their wildest ideas to the page. And to kick off, today I have an excellent co-host sitting in for my partner, Kari, Jen Nixon. Jen, can you introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. I'm Jen Nixon, formerly from New Jersey, currently living in Pennsylvania. I am a sci-fi writer, mostly romance, sometimes with a little bit suspense, and I'm really excited to be here. And Kari, we miss you! We love you!
Oh, we miss Kari!
But she'll be back soon. I'm just filling in until she's ready to come back.
And we appreciate it so much, Jen. We haven't been able to talk with a lot of the authors we wanted to, so it's so great that you're able to sit in. But Kari will be back, so everybody don't miss her too much.
Don't miss her too much, but miss her a little. We want her to come back.
Plenty. Miss her plenty, but not too much.
So who do we have as our guest today, Rob?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that, Jen. Today, we're sitting down with Luann Carroll. Luann is a native Californian living in the Sierra Nevada foothills, mother to three children. She is an avid rock, fossil, and gem hunter who enjoys sharing her finds with her family and friends. She is a student of alternative religion, archaeology, anthropology, and paleontology. After leaving her position as CEO in the Bay Area, she has pursued her writing career with much success. Winner of the 2010 Crescent Moon Press Award for Best Novel and the 2015 Best Occult Writer Award, she has gone on to write several more works that can be best described as sci-fi paranormal with a touch of gothic horror. She is the author of the Gemini Rising series, recommended reads, A Shadow of Time, A Paranormal Romance, Shadowlands, Lenore's Story, Journeys, The Adventures, Leaf, Innocent Blood, The Foundlings of Nirvana, and numerous other stories and articles. She is also a social journalist and sits on the editorial board of Blasting News. Luann, thank you so much for sitting down with us.
Hi, Luann. Thank you for having me. Hello, how are you, Jen?
So good to talk to you.
I don't think I've ever got to talk to you before, so this is quite a treat. Thank you guys for inviting me. I appreciate it.
So happy to have you here.
Luann, how is the weather where you're at today?
Today, it's not as hot as it has been. It's been, you know, up above over 100 for it feels like months now. So today we actually just made it to 90, so it was a really comfortable outside.
It's practically freezing, huh, at 90?
Right? Yeah. I mean, usually it's like super cold here or, you know, we're being evacuated because of a fire. Fortunately, this year, I've been able to stay home. So that was really good.
That's awesome. Tell us what you're working on, Luann.
Actually, my current work is I got the rights back on my children's series called Journeys. So I'm in the process of doing my own graphic design, putting the children's books together, and then I am going to do a YouTube channel where I will actually be reading stories to kids.
Oh,
so, and you know, I've got a ton of grandkids and they all enjoy each one of my children's books is dedicated to one of them. So they get a big kick out of it. And I was out with a friend a couple of weeks ago and she was just stating that she absolutely loved to listen to authors read their books. And so I said, oh, that sounds like a really cool idea. I said, what do you think about children's books? And she's like, well, yeah, because, you know, we just usually give our kids the tablet and we go in our room and then they get their own. You know, somebody reads them a story or they watch it, you know, on their computer or their phone or whatever. And so I thought, wow, I could really do that. That would free up some kids and they could read along with it or they could just listen to it and fall asleep. Or, and children's books, I do write science fiction. I do like to write romance, but children's books are also my passion. I really enjoy writing tales with, you know, a moral story that, you know, helps kids face different issues as they crop up in life.
Nice. Like,
that sounds great.
Yeah, that's really important.
Yeah, absolutely. And reading is my little nephew is just turned my grandnephew's my nephew's kid. He just turned 5, and he's been on that tablet. I cannot believe, and he knows how to read. like sentences already.
It's amazing. And the neat thing, so I downloaded this video editor, and it teaches you how to, you know, the kids can read along with you. I mean, I've just been having the most fun.
That sounds great. Reading my books out loud is like my worst nightmare.
Really? Oh, no, I think I would really like it.
I haven't done it.
Oh, I think it could be really interesting, but I hear what Jen is saying. Like, that could be, who wants to hear me read?
Well, but you would really be surprised. I'm a huge audio fan. My husband passed away about 3 years ago, and I was having a ton of trouble sleeping. Mm-hmm. And so I got onto the audio thing with Kindle. Mm-hmm. And all I have to do is put on a boring book, and I'm asleep in 25 minutes. And it seriously works.
That's awesome. Now, yeah. Luann, you said something really interesting that I want to go back and kind of explore a little. You got your rights back. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? How did that go? Because I know sometimes, for any number of reasons, somebody's fault, nobody's fault, rights need to come back. How does that process work for you?
It was really simple. Time ran out. You know, so with my children's books, because I wrote those like back in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, time runs out. Publisher, that the books aren't on, you know, they're not, I don't know who it is, but people come along and then they buy up your books and then they sell them on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
So the books aren't being sold by the publisher anymore,
mm-hmm.
but the book still stays on Amazon and it's being sold by private parties.
Right.
So I kind of heard about that a little bit, didn't really understand it. So I ordered a bunch of my books, and sure enough, they were used and they came from private parties.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, oh, wow. Yeah, right. Who'd have thought they could do that?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So I just contacted my old publisher, and they were like, oh, yeah, go right ahead. So hopefully I'll get mine up and, you know, the other people will just kind of go away or, you know, mm-hmm. or whatever. I don't know what happens. But, you know, I'm really happy with the graphics design I'm doing. They have so many programs nowadays that make it so easy.
Yeah.
And are you doing the graphics yourself?
I am.
Oh, tell us about that.
It isn't hard. You just have to really get on a good graphics site. You got to make sure that. So I have always had a thing. I've always liked to paint, but I've never done graphics before. So I just kind of got into it and learned how to put it all together. And I like lots of color. Like if you were to walk in my house, you'd go, ooh, girl from the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, really, I do. I love color. I have color everywhere. And so that was like my big thing is my previous publishing of the book didn't have the color in it that I wanted. So this one does. And it was just a matter of getting the right characters, learning how to repeat them, you know, making sure the colors worked, making sure that each design flowed into the next one, leaving spaces for kids to color in. So it was just like a huge learning process. But I have nothing else to do. So this is how I'm occupying my time in between kayaking and hiking.
Yeah, teaching yourself is great. I've taught myself how to do editing, to do my own promo videos. It's how we keep our brains active.
Well, I'm really now, like, the YouTube thing intimidates me. So, I mean, any help that you guys can give me, like on cameras and audio, would be greatly appreciated. I kind of have an idea of how I'm. So I, yeah. Anyway, I know it's probably this is not all about.
Tell us about what problems you're facing. Like, this is stuff that other writers are probably facing. So let's hear what your problems are.
Well, I'm thinking like I want to do, so if I were to do a YouTube channel just for children's books, and I don't always have to be reading my books, they can be other people's books too. I'm totally good with that. I love kids' books, as long as I have permission from the author. And then, but I would like to do like an opening YouTube that just says who I am, you know, but, you know, you need cameras for that, and you need audio, and you need, you know, good editing systems. And so I bought an editing system, but I'm like going, wait, I can't use the camera on my computer because it's too grainy. It doesn't even look like a human being sitting there, right?
Yeah.
So then I get a cheap camera. That one's no better. So then I'm thinking about you guys, and I'm thinking, well, you know, you guys would know, like, what, you know, like a good beginner camera audio type of a thing to get started, and backgrounds.
I don't know cameras at all. Maybe Jen does.
Yeah, no. I can tell you is if you get a camera, if you get one of those rings, like they're like bright.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like a light ring. That actually helps with the camera. So, I mean, you could probably have a cheaper camera, and if you get that light ring, it'll brighten it up enough so that it doesn't look grainy. You can try that before you buy a new camera.
Oh, that's good advice.
What was it called again?
It's a light ring.
It's shaped of an O, and it's like supposed to light up your face. It's what everybody started using during COVID when they all started working from home.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, a light ring. You won't even know what was going through my imagination. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry, what?
It's like a camera light. I don't know the specific word, but I'll look it up and I'll send you a link.
No, that's the right term. That category of lighting is a light ring.
Okay.
And you put it, like, you put your camera on it, or you put your camera in the middle of it, or you put, like, it's supposed to shine right on your face, and it lights up your face without casting shadows that your camera is going to pick up. Yeah. No, I know that one. Is, yeah.
Yeah.
It'll make you look like
TV. And then, of course, my next challenge, of course, reading it won't be a problem. That comes pretty simple to me. So that's not a big issue. But just the whole editing thing, you know, I had 27 graphics done. And so I downloaded those graphics. And then I was trying to decide. And then in between, I'm going to have to put in, you know, the words of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And then those will have to be kind of like motion picture-like with the words, you know, highlighted as you go along so the kids can, you know, see what you're reading.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and then they can either read the book, have it with them, or they can just watch the show. It doesn't, you know, they don't have to have the book. So I'm excited to get started. It's my new thing.
I'm excited to watch you do this. This is exciting stuff.
I am really excited about it. It should be fun. And then I've got three books coming out with Mare,
Alyssian James. Press. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I never can pronounce that right. So yeah, I do. So it's good. It is
in my head.
It's the old Gemini Rising series that we completely tore apart and redid. So
now question about that. Me, you, and Rob, all three of us have something in common.
Yes, we do.
We've all been with publishers that have closed and gone to new publishers with those books. Mm-hmm. Gemini Rising was at Crescent Moon Press, where I had my first Mind book.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember.
Yeah, tell us what do you mean when you had to rip it apart? What happened from Crescent
Moon? The editing was atrocious. Now, my books came out like at right when the publisher was getting into trouble. Mm-hmm. And so, and one of their main editors who I knew passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and she was the lady that I was working with. And then, so basically everything just kind of got thrown into a heap and then just published.
Mm.
And it was so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the cover art. I thought the cover art was awesome. But,
the reason I submitted to them, 100% truth. Your cover, Gemini Rising, was the reason I submitted to them, because I loved that cover.
I loved it. I did. And there was no, like, I always get, from Mare, I get the book back in final form.
Mm-hmm.
So I know what it's going to look like right before it goes to print. And if there's a boo-boo in it, then it's my fault just as well as it is anybody else's, because I didn't read it thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have that there. There it was, okay, we're going to press and you get what you got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's kind of like, what do they call it? It's almost like on-demand publishing. Mm-hmm. So when somebody orders a book, it comes straight off the press into the person. Mm-hmm. They don't keep it in, you know, like my first children's books, if I did a book signing somewhere, I got them in boxes. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't pay for my books. I got them in boxes. It was my job to go out there and sell them. So I would go to Barnes & Noble or here, there, wherever. And so getting involved with Crescent Moon was a completely different experience for me. Mm-hmm. So it was, like I said, I mean, then I got the book and I was like going, oh my God, this is horrible. This is terrible. But well, I didn't. Go ahead.
I think we've all been there. Like, I think we've all gone back and looked at an early draft and like, oh, what was I thinking? And myself, like, I love the editing process. I love seeing all those mistakes. Well, I don't love seeing the mistakes, but I love that they're getting caught and corrected. Yeah. That's the part.
Yes.
And I don't know about either of you, but like that is my favorite part of the process. Like the book is done and now I want somebody to go through and make it better. And I just that's my favorite part. Like the writing of the book. Okay. You know, obviously there's a lot of pleasure in getting the words out and everything and building the characters in the world and everything. But it's that I just take a lot of joy in the editor coming back and saying, okay, you've done some really good stuff here, but then there's this weirdness right here. Like, oh yeah, that is weird. So.
Ask Mir. I'm so bad. I'm like, wait, oh my God, I am so sorry. I didn't see that. I'm so sorry. I had to make you work. I don't want to make you work. That's not your job. It's my job to write a novel that's worth printing.
Right.
So I apologize all over. You know, but yeah, editing is good, and having a tough editor is even better, because it's like, no, this is not working. You need to come out of the gate with a home run. Oh, all right. Then you, no, really. I mean, you do. You do have to come out with a home run. And it took me, and I wasn't used to, you know, with Crescent Moon, it was basically, oh, here's your book. Thank you. Let's publish it without not a lot of the editing process. Of course, it could also have been that my books were so bad that they didn't want to, that there was like, you know, no, I'm just kidding.
They did not have good editors, because I went through three different people editing and myself, and we went through the book four times, and there was a line, a type in the first line.
Yeah.
Four people.
So. I know. I get it. So she has really kept me on task here. So it's an interesting experience. And then she had the goodness of her heart to, you know, let me go through my grief period before making me go back to work. And
right.
I think I would say like the last 6 months to a year, the brain started to function again.
No kidding.
Yeah, that was really a tough road, you know. Three kids, seven grandkids. It was hard to, right? That was tough.
Yeah.
But I survived it. I made it through the other side.
And we're all better for that. Your books are, I know I've read at least one or two of your books. I know I have. We are definitely better for you being still out here writing. I'm going to interrupt right here because this episode of Myth Behaving is sponsored. It is brought to you by the Bath Bomb Diva, producing fine handcrafted bath bombs and shower steamers. Scents ranging from fruits to floral to musks to weird French names, the Diva offers a wide selection for maximum olfactory goodness. I just love that. Bath bombs are offered with and without prizes inside and made using water-soluble dyes for no messy residue. The Bath Bomb Diva has kicked off their Halloween selection for all your ghoulish bath time needs. Utterly scientific surveys show trick-or-treaters choose bath bombs over full-size candy bars almost always, sometimes, maybe. That's Bath Bomb Diva. And I actually love these people. That's part of why they're a sponsor, because I buy the bath bombs for myself. So
no, seriously,
I do.
I'm on their website right now.
Aren't they great?
Yeah, oh my gosh, I have to get some for my granddaughter. The skeletons are awesome.
Luann, they're gonna have to send you a check for that. That's awesome.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, my granddaughter's 13 and she's in this death phase, right? Oh, so that's interesting. My granddaughter already had her first book published.
Oh, wow. It's called, tell us.
Yeah, I know, right?
Tell us about that. And how old is she?
She is 13, okay. And her book is called The Boy Who Fell Down the Well.
Oh, wow.
So it was at her school, and they did a thing at her school. And, you know, she's actually written numerous books already, you know, mm-hmm. and then she writes books in her head when she goes to sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that she's really into right now are making memes, and they all have skeletons in them. And, you know, all these video games and people are blowing up and doing it. And I'm like, geez, Alice, and she has such a sunny personality. You would never think it. So when I saw these skeleton bath bombs, I'm like, oh yeah, that's something this kid is going to like.
There you're
in.
Go.
You're in.
Oh yeah. They're ordered.
Awesome. Right? I'll let them know this all worked. It worked. Advertising works, folks. Here it is. Proof.
It does. Advertising does work. So remember me when I'm doing my YouTube video.
Exactly. Exactly.
Them on your YouTube video.
Luann, just speaking of advertising, that's a lovely segue. Tell us how you advertise your books.
I really suck at it.
I think we all do, right?
I'm really no good. And so my practice has been, and I think I have like 1,000 followers on Facebook, and my website was doing phenomenally well until my husband passed away and I just kind of let everything fall apart. And, but that's okay because I can rebuild it. But, it's mostly, I like to advertise other authors' works. Mm-hmm. I like to, like on my, which I'm going to reactivate my blog, like that I do, but I think I might do like a vlog instead of a blog. And I like to read other people's books and review them. And mm-hmm. I'm a reviewer on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to be like super, super careful about, you know, I can't review books now that I happen to know the author or anything like that, but I can review other people, mm-hmm. you know, others' books right. and products and whatever. So I actually do get traffic that way. And then I really want to go into the whole audio thing because, I mean, hopefully my books won't put people to sleep, but, you know, it would be, I really think that's kind of an up and coming thing because one of the things I was doing for Amazon was reviewing their audio books. Like, I don't know if you remember the book and the movie Gone Girl.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Do you remember that? Okay. I was one of the first person. I was one of the first, before the book was out, I was able to get her CD because we didn't have, you know, we didn't have all that back then. I mean, maybe we did, you know, it wasn't as prevalent or I didn't know how to mm-hmm. use it, but mm-hmm. I'll tell you, I would sit out in my car and listen to it. It was like, I had to get to the end of this thing. So I really like the whole audiobook idea.
Yeah.
And even, and I have a friend who she has a somewhat of an English accent that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
So I have her doing some of my little books that I put up on Amazon. So she's actually working on one now. And we're going to see how that goes, how we can move it to audio
mm-hmm.
and then move it over. So yeah, I got a bunch of stuff going on.
Go ahead, Jen. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
I was going to just say, I love audiobooks. I read. I definitely still read, but I run every day, and instead of listening to music, I'll listen to books, and I just love that. You just get lost, and you know, a couple miles go by, you get your workout in for the day. You've done some reading as well at the same time. I just love audiobooks for that.
I never thought of that. Go ahead, Jen.
I'm terrible. I haven't gotten into. I mean, I try. I go on YouTube and I find like a book that I read and I listen to it. And I'm like, yeah, I'd rather read it because I can read faster than this guy is telling me this story.
You know, you can speed up their voices.
Yeah, I can four times faster than this guy's telling me this story. So,
yeah, that is true, though. I do get that, which is why I use it to fall asleep. Because you're waiting for that next word to come, right? But yeah, I do still read books. I use Kindle a lot. I really have, paperbacks have kind of left my house, which is a bit of a shame because you could have filled a room with my books.
Oh, yeah. I think we're all the same way.
I know, yeah. But it's kind of sad.
That you don't have books sad. Anymore? Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll buy a favorite here and there. But yeah, I download a lot of ebooks too.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't
yeah,
really.
Yeah, so.
It's sad.
Well, when we moved, I got rid of a lot of my books. And then, because books are heavy to move. Thinking I was going to buy more books, right? Because I always had bookshelves and shelves going in my house. And then I got onto the stupid Kindle Unlimited, and there you go.
Oh, and then you're locked in. You're like, yeah.
Yeah.
All these free
it's
books.
Like, okay, what's next? And the nice thing about Kindle is when you got a book in a series, right? You read the first book, it takes you right to the second book, right to the third book. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. So you don't like have to. And if you make sure that they're all out at the same time, you're saving money.
It's so true.
It works all the way around. Although I cherish the paperbacks I do have. So
I do too. I make sure I have at least one copy of my own here and then my favorites. And once in a while I'll buy one. But yeah, I'm on the Kindle too a lot because I read a lot of self-published and indie published small press writers now because. Mm. All my big time writers are all lazy and I don't like the way they write anymore. So
are you serious?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, I'm not going to name names, but some of the writers that I've been reading for like 10 plus years, it seems like as they get more popular, they don't like to be edited as much, or their editors don't think they need to be edited as much. And it's just like, it's like the same story and the same everything. And it's like, I love this character, but you're not doing anything new with him now.
Yeah, or it's the same story, just in a different, you know, scenario, right? It's like, you know, it took place on a boat, and the next time it took place on a mountaintop, but it's essentially the same story.
Yeah.
Good editor. That's, hey, you kind of did this plot already.
Right. That's the publisher saying, I need another book. And they're like, I don't have another book. Well, I could retell the old book.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So what is your editing process? Like, how do you read it to yourself aloud, Luann? Do you put it away for a little while and come back to it? What do you do?
No, I write in Microsoft Word and I edit as I go along. It's obviously not the final edit, but I put it on read aloud and I turn my face away from it. And I listen to it and then I go back and then I watch it as it highlights each word.
Mm.
So like if you miss an A, and you can, again, that's another thing, you can make it go faster. You can make it go slower depending upon what you want that read aloud to do.
Mm-hmm.
Creepy thing about it is how your reader changes as they get used to the words that you write. I mean, I don't know if you guys ever use it, but they actually pick up on the nuances of, oh, you could be trying to say, or perhaps you mean this word.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I guess I do. So I guess it's kind of almost like an AI. I kind of figured it was probably an AI kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Because she definitely learns when she reads my stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah, uh-huh. And for me, it works really well because I'm hearing it. And so I wrote it, and then I get to hear it. And you can see if you, you know, all those little words that, you know, you think you put down that you didn't.
Exactly. I do that all the time, too.
Yeah.
I know I put what in there, but it's
not. Yeah. Well, no, it's like,
there, or, but it's.
It disappeared.
Or what was I thinking when I wrote this? Like, you know, I don't know what that line was supposed to mean. Yeah.
I'll tell you, I got one piece of good advice from someone. A long, long time ago, and I'm still trying to figure out whether or not this is true, but her advice was, find the sentence you love most in your book or novel, manuscript, whatever, and throw it out.
Ooh.
Because that's the worst, right?
What?
Right?
I
yeah.
Do completely disagree with that.
Whoa.
Wow. No, she was, and let me tell you, she's a multi-published person.
All right.
And she said over her experience that authors, when they fall in love with a sentence, they've usually crafted that sentence for them and not their readers.
Okay.
And I was like, so if I get too sciencey fictiony, does that mean I have to throw it out? No, it doesn't.
Right.
Right? So it's like, I'm still trying to figure out. I haven't done it yet, so I don't know. I thought I'd ask you guys. You have experience.
I'm the worst one to ask because I, every now and then, there's a line that my editor wants me to change, and I'm like, oh, I can't give that one up. That one's not. No. That's for me. That one's for me. Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. You get kind of possessive of those sentences, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Luann, I'm going to ask one last question before we wrap up. We've had such a lovely time with you. If you could meet one of your characters from your books, who would it be and why?
Oh, I would want to meet Kate Kelly from the Gemini Rising / Children of the Light series. But it would be after it was all done. And I would want to talk to her about her experiences and what she thought about the world changing. You know, sometimes you look out at the news nowadays and you see the world the way it is, and it can be quite scary. Mm-hmm. And in my series, Kate already lived through it. So she already lived through like the collapse of civilization. So mm-hmm. I'd want to talk to her about that and just figure out how to survive it. Emotionally and physically.
Yes.
So, and I did a lot of research on it, you know, so I do have some of those things in my mind, but yeah, I'd like to talk to her and also about the nature of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because she has answers to all those questions.
Isn't it nice when your characters have the answers?
Oh, she's brilliant. Yeah. Let me tell you.
That's all awesome.
Characters are smarter than we are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's of great. Course.
Yeah, that's awesome. Luann, it has been so lovely to have you on. We've really appreciated your time with us.
Good. I've enjoyed it.
We will definitely have to have you back. Jen, you have been an excellent co-host sitting in for Kari.
Thank you. Calling to you from the East Coast and Rob on the West Coast.
We got it all covered.
I'll work on my radio podcast voice.
Yep, we'll have to have some kind of sign off, some kind of like good night and good luck, Jen. Right? Like,
I don't think we can use that one.
I actually like that.
Wasn't that Morrow's one? Good night and good luck, or no? He was he had a different one. I don't remember what his was.
I don't remember. Yeah. No, we'll figure out something. We'll definitely. Yeah, we'll work on it. We'll work on it for our listeners. Our listeners are like, why are you still talking? Aren't we at the end? We are at the end of another Myth Behaving podcast. Thank you so much for listening to us. And remember, keep misbehaving.